Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrodsburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program this morning. We hope that you'll become a regular listener. We also encourage you to visit our website, www.churchofchristatharrodsburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. In the past few months, we have been studying the context and the true teaching of the book of Revelation. Last week, in looking at Revelation chapter 17, we were told that the news that Babylon, the great city of Rome, its emperors, and the world power of the time is going to come down. She is going to be destroyed. As we turn our attention to chapter number 18, there are some information and some instruction given to the people of God. We begin in verse number 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I said as a queen, I am no widow, and I will see no sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. At the time, John was seeing these things written in Revelation that Babylon has fallen. Yet at that present time, Babylon had not fallen. Yet her overthrow was so certain that the angel spoke as if it had already been an accomplished fact. Speaking prophetically, he looked into the future and saw the destruction of Rome as already finished. The reason for her overthrow is no secret to anyone. We know that from reading chapter number 17. At this point, there is a warning sounded for the people of God to separate themselves completely from Babylon and from Rome. The appeal is that the saints should come out and have no fellowship in her sin. The appended warning is to effect that all who share in her sins will share in the same plagues that are coming her way. You need to see in these first 8 verses that God is going to have the final say. These words are written as if this event has already took place, yet it is centuries in the future. How can it be written and stated in such emphatic terms? Because it is God who is going to bring it about. It is certain because it is God's judgment upon Rome. Notice verse 6. Render to her just as she rendered to you. Repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. You see, she is going to be paid back for the injustice, for the persecution, for the tribulation, even the deaths of many saints. She is going to pay retribution because God is going to punish her. Notice in verse 7 and 8, she thought she was invincible. She thought no one could touch her. She thought no one could harm her. And so she lived luxuriously. And she said she was a queen. She would never be a widow. But verse 8 says her destruction will come in one day. In one day, metaphorically, very suddenly, the end will come and she will be utterly destroyed. And history tells us that's exactly what happened in years ahead to the great city and world power of Rome. In verse 9 through 20, lest anyone should think that the fall of Rome would generate only praise to the Lord and no mourning for the great city and its empire, several verses picture the kings of the earth in grief, beginning in verse 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her, and when they see the smoke of her burning, standing in a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment is come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, and no one buys her merchandise any more. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stone, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and incense, and fragrant oil, and frankincense, wine, and oil, fine flour, and wheat, cattle, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and bodies, and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich in splendor have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster and all who traveled by ship and sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance, and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What is like this great city? They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been made desolate. Notice in verses 9 through 19 that the cities are in mourning and they're in grief over her loss. Why? Because they lose out too. They had become rich by her prosperity. They sailed their ships into her ports. They bought her goods. They sold her goods. And so now their profit is also gone by the way. They weep and wail over the heartless fate and cry, Woe, woe, the great city of Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. Not only these kings, but merchants, shipmasters, and sailors are pictured as being distraught over the event. But why are these people sad? There is no grief for Rome. It is purely selfishness on their part. The kings of the earth lament only because their partner in fornication is gone, depriving them of any pleasure and profit. The merchants grieve only because they no longer have customers that they once had. The shipmaster and sailors are in agony only because of the collapse of the economy built around Rome's extravagance leaves them without work and wages. Sinners have few friends when pleasure turns to pain. The reaction of the righteous to the fall of Rome is very much different. Verse 20, Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you upon her. Neither God nor the faithful people take pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. We read that in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. But those who deliberately refuse his gracious salvation will always pay a high price. The execution of divine wrath against such persons, especially in their sins, has ever been the hindering work of the church. It is just acts as a justifiable reaction of praise for the saints who now have been vindicated because of the spiritual adultery and apostasy, the emperor worship, the persecution, and the tribulation that Rome had exacted against her. Now they are being vindicated, and Rome is being paid back for what she had done and the sins that she had committed. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever sometimes think the odds are stacked against you, that sometimes it seems pointless to resist? You ever have the feeling that the harder you try to do right, the harder it is to keep your path straight, keep your head up, and keep doing that which is the right thing to do because that's what God tells you to do? It seems easier to go ahead and give in just this once, let the wrong have its way this time, and thereby you can avoid another difficulty. Sometimes it's going to seem that way to us as Christians. And it might seem that way as you read this book of Revelation and to the Christians who were enduring this first century persecution, because these events would not happen for a few centuries to follow. Rome simply looked invincible to them, and resistance must have seemed so futile at times. But the Christian needed to be encouraged to hold on, to look to the ultimate outcome of the struggle, to remember that God is in control, to remember that God sees all things, to understand that evil will be punished, that ungodliness will have a day of reckoning, and Rome's actions and her atrocities against the people of God and against the church and against Christians who would not compromise their faith would not go unchecked. They are going to pay a very, very heavy price. Then we see at the end of the letter in verse 21 a description given. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with the violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall be found no more. The sound of a harpist, the musicians, the flutists, the trumpeters shall not be heard in her any more. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you any more. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints, and all who were slain on the earth. There would be no more life as usual in Rome. In Rome, after the wrath of God was visited upon her, the harlot would be destroyed, and all business life, fun, games, frolic, and revelry, and the normal social intercourse of this chief city would be interrupted. She is going to reap the fruits of her sins against the church. Life is not going to be like it used to be. Verse 21 paints a picture that this great city is going down and life will never be like it used to. And she will not be found anymore. Rome will never be a prominent world power city again. That will be gone. And the violence that the great city had done to many of the nations on earth would now be repaid in her, and she would not be found anymore. In verse 22 and 23, all the sounds of gaiety and frivolous activities and fun and things that people like to dabble in the pleasures of sin are going to learn the powerful lesson that the pleasures of sin are only temporary, that they are fleeting, and that they cannot give any lasting pleasure. In verse 23, the light of the lamp shall not shine in you anymore. They will not be the city on the hill. They will not be the great imperial city that all the nations of the earth bowed down and worshipped her. Nor will she be the power in the world that she once was. All that is coming to an end. Why has such a lasting and fitting destruction and complete destruction come upon this powerful city? How did this great end come about? Why did it have to happen? Verse 24 tells us. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. She had blood on her hands. She had the blood of the saints. She had the blood of Christians. And now she's going to pay for her ungodly actions and her abuse against the church. And so it is with any nation or group of people who oppose the God of heaven. There is a day of reckoning. There is recompense, and men will pay for their crimes and their sins against God. Make no mistake about it. In the contents of chapter 17 and 18, Rome's fate is sealed. She is going to be destroyed. She's never going to rise to prominence again, and she's going to pay mightily for what she did to God's children. God will make sure. Thank you.